The city of Baltimore has over the years become sadly inured to violent crime. It has one of the country's highest murder rates, fueled by a violent drug trade. But last October, there was a crime so brutal, so indiscriminate, that it shocked even those who'd grown used to horrible stories. An arson that wiped out nearly an entire family. Today, a report about the aftermath of that crime.
It was in the middle of the night, last October 16th, an arsonist poured gasoline inside the home of Carnell and Angela Dawson and set it on fire. The raging blaze killed the couple, as well as five children, the oldest 14, the youngest 9-year-old twins. Angela Dawson had become something of an anti-drug crusader in her East Baltimore neighborhood. She was well known for calling the police to report drug activity and crime. 2 weeks before the fatal arson, someone tossed a Molotov cocktail into the Dawson's row house, a warning, the family said, from drug dealers. Carnell Dawson reported the attack in this phone call to 911.
Somebody just gas bombed my house. Could I have a police over here now?
What's your address?
1401 East Preston Street.
And what's your name?
Carnell Dawson.
Somebody threw something in your window or your door?
They bombed my house, ma'am.
Bombed your house with what, sir? That's right.
Gasoline.
They've set your house on fire?
Yes.
City officials say they offered to relocate the family through the Witness Protection Program, but the Dawsons stayed put. On October 16th, another attack. This time, no one was spared.
It was about a little after two in the morning. I heard the firing is outside, and I got up to investigate, and something told me to open the door. When I opened the door, the entire block was black with smoke.
And fire was coming from everywhere.
I never seen something that tragedy in my life, you know.
It just looked like a flaming inferno.
I was hoping like the kids wasn't in there. When I talked to one of the firefighters, he said it was so bad he didn't know whether it was anybody in there or not until he was able to get the fire down some and the smoke. Then they found them all in a corner, burnt up.
A neighbor of the Dawsons, 21-year-old Daryl Brooks, was arrested and faces federal charges for the 7 killings. The Dawsons lived in the section of East Baltimore called Oliver. It's a neighborhood with lots of abandoned, boarded-up homes, where it's easier to find a corner liquor store than a grocery store. The Dawsons' murder brought immediate city attention to Oliver. Police were stationed here around the clock. Drug treatment slots were targeted for residents of this neighborhood. And, says Dolores Best, who lives nearby, there's now more street lighting and lots of it.
Spotlights that I hear so bright the people couldn't even sleep at nights. Well, they had a light that set out here. Wow, that had this whole neighborhood lighted up.
But it's not just lighting and patrol cars. Dolores Best says the Dawson tragedy has fundamentally changed this community. You'll see signs in windows of houses now that read, "Thou shalt not kill." And another, "Us killing us equals genocide."
The neighbors are saying, how do we get together and get some type of neighborhood patrol or something that we can make a call if there is something happening and the police don't come to our home to identify us, because this is what they'll do. You call and say that there's trouble, they come and they walk to your house and knock on your door.
Twice a week on this block of Eden Street, Danny Dansbury hands out free groceries off the back of his truck.
Now who ain't got none? You get one? You ain't get one? You ain't get one?
Old men leaning on canes, women shivering against the bitter wind, reach up for donations from a church food pantry. There's rotisserie chicken, macaroni salad, cherry pie, and milk, bread, oranges.
Somebody drop your stuff on the ground there.
Apart from his volunteer food giveaway, Danny Dansbury also has a business on this corner, selling used furniture and television sets, gray disaster blankets and toiletries. He tells us he helped Angela Dawson furnish her house down the street. And since that awful night when he watched the Dawson house burn, he's seen some progress.
The officers in this district is on patrol 24/7.
You feel safer?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunate. That was the only good thing came out of it. We don't have the crowds. We don't have the traffic. That's the only thing that makes me feel good about being around you guys. Really, I'm ready to go.
You're ready to go?
I say if they hadn't been here, I'd be ready to get out of here.
Because?
Well, they attempted to burn my school down, too.
When was that?
That was about maybe a month before this. And one of the neighbors called me about 2 o'clock in the morning and told me someone was in the back of my store trying to burn my door down. And I came down, And just in time, and put the fire.
Why would they have done that?
Well, you know, I don't allow drug boys on this corner. If they come, I just call the police.
Did you fear that by calling the police, you might be setting yourself up for something bad?
Well, let's put it this way. Now, round about now, you never know. But I feel better now with the police present now. They seem to be very active, more active than they ever been since I've been here.
We walk down Eden Street, past the Dawson's home, where soot licks its way up the walls around the charred window frames, a sad shrine of stuffed animals, deflated balloons, a withered Christmas tree still stands outside. Around the corner and down the block, there's a store that sells hot dogs and hamburgers and cold drinks. The owner, Maxine Golson, agrees with Danny Dansbury. The cops are everywhere now. But according to her, that's part of the problem.
The kids can't even walk the street. I don't care. Everybody black that walks down this street is a drug dealer. That's the biggest lie they ever told. Anybody does anything, they're a drug dealer. If they come and stand right there where he's standing, and this man owns a damn barbershop upstairs, he's a drug dealer. They walk in here and want a soda, they're drug dealers. You clean this corner up right here, or that corner, because they're not going to hang over here. See, I'm not stupid. They're not going to hang over here. That's my grandson, my granddaughter. I'm not going to have anybody hanging over here to hurt my grandchildren. And I will go out there, and everybody right here will tell you, Miss Maxine said, get the hell off the goddamn corner. She mean it. I walk out the door, and he's sitting in front of my door. I say, you waiting to buy drugs? I say, because if you are, move. And if you don't move, I don't have to argue with you. I just pretend I'm writing something. They haul ass. They're gone. They think you're writing a damn tag number down. I'm not writing anything down.
But doesn't that set you up to be a target for...
No, it don't set me up. Just get the hell away from my door. Do you want my son to sell drugs in front of your mother's door? Huh? No. So you get the hell away from mine. I have a family here, and I don't care what in the hell happened to... You can go anywhere you want to go and buy your drugs, but you won't do it in front of my door.
But what I'm asking is, doesn't that make
you... No, I didn't do her like... No, I'm not going to walk out that door and tell the police, he sell drugs, she sell drugs, I'm not going to do that. The hell I'm going to do that? I'm not going to set myself up for that. That's when you get killed.
When the Dawsons were killed, there was a lot of blame tossed around. Accusations that the police didn't protect the family, that city government neglected this neighborhood, that the churches on virtually every block here ignored the problems outside their doors. Drugs are endemic in Oliver, and block upon block of abandoned homes reflect the inner city reality of Baltimore, a city whose population has shrunk by nearly a third over the last 50 years.
This is three houses that you can look straight through. You can see the sky through the holes.
Reverend Iris Tucker points to a row of buildings next to her church, Knox Presbyterian, which is diagonally across from the burned-out Dawson home. House after house is long abandoned, crumbling on the verge of collapse.
When it's blighted like this, and even though we talk about walking by faith and not by sight, we know that the human psyche deals with sight, so that when you see this, you say that this is a hopeless situation.
Reverend Tucker's dream is to open a transitional house on this block for young men in trouble, those who've been in the juvenile justice system or who have substance abuse problems. She says it will be named after the Dawson family. The Dawson name has also been given to the shiny new playground at the Bernard Harris Senior Elementary School. Four of the Dawson children went to this school. We walk with a community organizer, Rob English, down a neighboring street where all but a few homes are abandoned.
These aren't just vacant homes. These are staging grounds for drug terrorists to sell their drugs.
English is with the group BUILD, Baltimoreans United in Leadership Development. He's been working in this community for the last 6 years.
When I first came here, my first day in the neighborhood, I walked down the street we're on now, which is Spring Street. And when I came up, there was over 100 people standing in line waiting to buy drugs.
Where?
Right where we're standing now. So the 100 people that were standing here when I got here, they were kicked out.
They went somewhere.
They went somewhere. They spread like cockroaches.
But it's clear they're not entirely gone. As we walk, we step over numerous crack vials that litter this street and the park right next to the schoolyard down the block. Still, English says, things are far better than they used to be. He credits community organizing for that. What's needed now, he says, is massive investment, what he calls a Marshall Plan for inner city Baltimore, or else a tragedy like that of the Dawson family will happen again. At the funeral for Angela Dawson and her five children last October, the mayor of Baltimore, Martin O'Malley, eulogized the family, and he lit into those who push and peddle hate.
So long as Baltimore remembers the Dawsons, we will never surrender to your hate. Not one neighborhood, not one block, not one house.
The Dawson's house, charred and boarded up now, is a constant reminder to Mayor O'Malley of how far the city still has to go in its campaign against crime and drugs.
That sad little house has become our Alamo in this city and had the effect of finally making all of us as angry as we've been scared for many years.
What does that mean?
This tragedy was far different. This tragedy was almost a combination of a line of duty death and the slaughter of the innocent rolled into one. Coming as it did also on the heels of a very successful and ongoing civic engagement campaign where we're calling on all the people of our city to believe once again in the power of ourselves and the power of individuals to overcome the scourge of drugs, drug violence, drug addiction, drug death, drug despair. And so in a very real way, the Dawson family became for us a symbol of this city's struggle.
I wonder though, the Believe campaign that you were talking about before ask citizens to do just what Angela Dawson did, which is to report crimes, to turn in drug dealers, to talk about what they were seeing on their street corners. And she paid an incredibly heavy price for that. Her whole family paid the price for that.
You know, she should not have been waging that battle alone. You know, since that murder, there have been over 200 people in that very neighborhood who have signed up to be participants in Block Watch to call anonymously and report drug dealing.
How do you reassure those people? How do you let them know that their safety is guaranteed and that they won't pay the price?
None of our safety is guaranteed. My safety is not guaranteed. No one's safety in this battle is guaranteed. The only thing guaranteed is that if we don't all try, then we're all going to die. The only thing guaranteed is that if all of us don't stand up, we're not going to have a city anymore. We're going to have a little duchy that is ruled by drug dealers and by money.
A dark vision for Baltimore, and one the mayor hopes he'll never see. He's proud of the progress the city has made, a 28% decrease in violent crime over the past 3 years. The Dawson's murder is an important story to tell, he says, but so is the story still being written in Baltimore, the story of a city fighting back against violence.